The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Aaron Rodgers-Packers standoff continues. Now, we know three executives made separate trips to meet with Aaron in person. President Mark Murphy, GM Brian Gutekunst, and head coach Matt LaFleur. That was prior to the draft. Meanwhile, his teammate Davante Adams, who's on the last year of his deal, I want to make note of that, might have to reconsider a situation if Aaron Rodgers takes his situation elsewhere. It's worth noting that Adams caught a franchise record 115 passes last season. The next closest wide receiver caught 33. Here he is yesterday on the herd.
We established a lot together, so it would change a lot, man. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. There's certain things that, you know, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. You know, that can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and his really laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing.
All right, Super Bowl champ Booger McFarland back here with us. And, Boog, I want to be honest with you. Initially when this started, I was convinced that Aaron was going elsewhere. Now I'm kind of leaning towards the fact maybe he's staying just because hearing from his teammates. Do you think it's a certainty that Aaron Rodgers ends up back with the Packers?
Molly, no, I don't. And I think Aaron controls that. You know, most times when we get in standoffs between players and organization, it always comes back to the money. Like, let's face it, find the money, find who has the most money, and normally that's who's going to win. Well, obviously the Green Bay Packers and their organization are completely loaded, but when you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's made $240 million. So if he is so personally ticked off, if he's personally so angry with this organization, he doesn't have to go back. So, hey, find him $15 million. Okay, I got $240. So big deal. I think to me, this is about respect. This is about pride. This is about the ability for an organization to understand what they have, to realize they have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and just pick the phone up and say, hey, man, you're involved. What do you think about this decision? What do you think about that decision? And some people will say, well, they don't owe him that. Well, guess what? When you are the quarterback of a team, it's the toughest position to play in all of sport. You deserve to have a say-so. You deserve a right at the table. And Molly, the only way I think this gets fixed is really simple. There's only one way this gets fixed. Is he's Brian Gutekunst, the GM, is going to have to do what all men hate to do. And that's swallow their pride. He's going to have to swallow his pride and say, you know what? I made a mistake in drafting Jordan Love. I'm going to have to take Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to have to pay him a 3 or 4 year deal, give him $40 million a year, guarantee the entire deal toward the end of his career. And basically subsequently saying that Jordan Love is not going to play. You're going to have to do something with Jordan Love. And that's the only way I think that this situation gets fixed. If not, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is coming back because he doesn't have any financial incentive to come back because he's got more than enough money to pay any fine they want. So what reason, if he's so personally ticked off at the organization, would he have to come back? He can pull a Carson Palmer, rest up for a couple years and come back. And I'm pretty sure at 39, 40 years old, he would still be able to play based on look at what Tom Brady's doing. And Aaron's more athletic than him. And his arm hasn't shown any decline yet. So I think this total situation is up to Aaron Rodgers. They're going to have to come down and meet some of his demands. And if they don't, I don't think he goes back there.
Boog, I think you touched on something that deserves to be repeated and emphasized. You talked about Aaron Rodgers feeling disrespected. Well, in the NFL, the way you show players that you respect them is how you pay them. So if the Packers want to fix this relationship with A-Rod, all they have to do is address the contract. Now it's going to push them to do something that they're clearly uncomfortable doing, which is guaranteeing money into future years. Right now, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any more guaranteed money on his contract. So essentially, the Packers can go from season to season, and when they see any slippage in his play, they can move on and turn it over to the guy that they drafted to be a successor in Jordan Love. So while I understand where you're coming from, I do think the relationship is fixable. We heard James Jones, who's a really close friend of Aaron Rodgers, his former receiver, say as much. And then you heard Devontae Adams talk about the same issues that A-Rod is having with the organization, being around respect. I think that's something that can be fixed. And because of that, coupled with the fact that Aaron Rodgers hasn't come out publicly and said that he's not going back to Green Bay, I think it's a virtual certainty that he will be back with the Packers this fall.
I agree with Booger on this almost for the exact reasons you laid out, Booger. Look, I've been saying from the beginning, business will feel personal sometimes to the employee, and I always thought that this was much more about business than Aaron Rodgers even realized. As in, and Chris, you said it yesterday, he's manipulating the way he manipulates coverages with, you know, with his eyes. He's manipulating the Packers here in a way, because they were going to dictate how the end of his Packers career was going to go. And he has completely changed that now. He's completely changed it. What did they do? Look, he's age 37 season coming up, right? So he doesn't have to play till he's 43 like Tom Brady, seven more years. Even if he just plays till he's 40 at a high level, that's four more years he can get out of guaranteed money. All right, make me the highest paid player ever, guaranteed money. They've already said, okay, we'll do that, right? Now, this is why I agree with Booger, though, Chris. It seems like, well, then he's going to go back, right? If it's about money. Mm-mm. This is really what it comes down to, guys. Certain quarterbacks, Boog, not every quarterback, a handful of dudes, maybe only three. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. When you're like one of those guys, you're basically an NBA superstar in today's NFL. As in, the Rockets thought James Harden's under contract. He can't tell us where he's going to be traded. Au contraire, James Harden will order you to trade him to one specific team, and it will dawn on that on his present team eventually. Up, he's right. We got no choice. We're going to have to trade him to that team. You don't even have the option to disobey the order. You don't even have that option. It's not even an issue of free will. You have to do it because otherwise you're left with nothing. Right now, here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to sit out. I've been trying to explain this to people. Guys, you think you're going to try and win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who doesn't want to be there? If Aaron Rodgers shows up, yeah, he'll do it. He'll play very well. But is he going to lead a group of guys to the Super Bowl? Because this is a team ready to win the Super Bowl if Rodgers is all in, right? They know that's not the case. So what are they going to do? They're going to trade him to exactly where he tells them to trade him, because he's going to let the other teams know, I'm not interested in playing for you. Who's going to give up the farm to get a half-in, half-out Aaron Rodgers? No, they will trade him to exactly who he tells them to trade him to. Unless, and here's why Booger's right, unless they swallow their pride. The Packers front office has to go to Aaron Rodgers, hat in hand, and say, we didn't understand. We thought it was the way things used to be. It ain't the way it is for guys like you. You were right. We were wrong. You're smart. We're stupid. You're tall. We're short. Whatever it is, right? You good, us bad. Now, here's the bag that you asked for. You have input. We want to hear from you. And have we mentioned again that we're sorry? Then he will stay. But are they willing to swallow their pride?
Booger, let me ask you this, because I have a question. You brought up the $240 million, and nobody really has yet, and we've discussed this ad nauseum. So for Aaron Rodgers at this point, do you think it's more about the money, or do you think it's more about the rings when he sees how Tom Brady's being taken care of? What do you think really is the point of contention for him and his desires at this point in his career?
Yeah, Molly, I don't think it's as much about money. Obviously, money's always a part of it, especially when you're in labor. I think it's about Aaron Rodgers looking at this situation and saying, look at the amount of disrespect I'm getting in Green Bay. And I've been here, what, 15 years. Now, look at the amount of respect that Tom Brady got in Tampa. He's only been there a year. Molly, down here in Tampa, they went out and got Shady McCoy. They got Leonard Fournette. They got Rob Gronkowski. They got Antonio Brown. Hell, anybody that could catch a football that was cut from another team, they was asking Tom Brady, do you want him? And if Brady wanted him, they went out and they got him. And he's only been here a year. Tom Brady has a say-so in everything here in Tampa. And he's only been here 1 year. Aaron Rodgers has been in Green Bay 15, and he can't even get a phone call before you draft Jordan Love. And they knew they were drafting Jordan Love because they traded picks up to go get Jordan Love. So they can't say, well, Jordan Love just failed to us. No, 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 that's a lie. You got on the phone and you made a trade. So you mean to tell me while one of your guys was on the phone, you couldn't text Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, we got a situation here. We're going to trade up to get Jordan Love. Hey, nothing to do with you. We're just trying to prepare for the future. Give the man a heads up. They couldn't even send him a text message. They couldn't even say, hey, man, you up? Come on, like, just let the man know what's going on in the organization. So, to me, it's about disrespect. Now, you can solve the disrespect by giving me the bag. Like, you can give me $45, $50 million a year, and I'll swallow it because I can, in my mind, I can play tricks in my mind and say, okay, they disrespected me, but they made me the highest paid player ever at the position. So, okay, I'll come back and play. But other than that, you're going to have to come out and publicly say and show that you are sorry for what you did. And how do you do that? You're going to have to guarantee me 3 or 4 years, and you're going to have to get rid of Jordan Love. I think that, to me, this is less about the general manager, Gutekunst, and more about how you built the team. So can you admit that you made the mistake of drafting Jordan Love by guaranteeing my contract subsequently while Jordan Love is there, and now you're pushing him out, so he'll never play while I'm here? That's how you come out and say you're sorry, you made a mistake. Other than that, I think Aaron Rodgers is a man of principle, and because his bank account has $240 million in career earnings, he has the principle to sit back and, hey, if you find me $15 million, cool, I'll pay it, no big deal, because he's trying to prove a point.
$250 is good, $400 is better.
It's a whole lot of money.
No question. Generational money. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Tim Tebow hasn't played football since the 2015 NFL preseason, but that isn't stopping the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are expected to sign the 33-year-old Tebow to a one-year contract later this week or next week to play tight end, a position he never played in high school, college, or his previous three-year NFL career. The reaction to a Tebow signing is wide-ranging, but here's some interesting insight from our Jags reporter, Michael DiRocco, on how some players might take this move.
There are going to be some guys that question this, and I can't help but think that there's going to be guys in that locker room that are going to ask, why is Tebow getting the shot when other guys aren't, especially a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who actually did lead a team to a Super Bowl as a quarterback?
Max, let me ask you this. Why is it fair for Tebow to get an opportunity but not Colin Kaepernick?
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, Tebow, whatever privilege he enjoys through relationships or whatever else, he should not apologize for, and he should grab that opportunity, do the best he can with it. I do not think this is linked to Colin Kaepernick. However, and I'm not faulting anyone for doing that, because I do believe he's simply reporting what he believes will be said in the locker room. We exist in a kind of clickbait age where one of the laziest but natural things, and I've done it many times too, oh, this happens in this case, but what about this in this case, right? These are two separate cases. I don't think they're related. I think Urban Meyer wants his guy there. And I think you have an interesting theory about that, Molly, that like maybe he actually wants Tebow to coach, but he knows he can't get him to show up at offering him a coaching job. So this is his way to hook him in. That's an interesting theory. I do think that while he shouldn't apologize for any kind of opportunity he has, because he's really just getting a look, right? And he should take advantage, I do think it comes with some responsibility. So we've talked on this show, as the Stephen A. and I sometimes get into it, about coaches, right? Steve Nash in Brooklyn, right? Steve Nash, take his opportunity, right? For sure. And Stephen A. will point out, hey, a lot of African-American coaches are waiting online, and they can't get the look, and
Eric
Steve Nash
Bieniemy
gets the job, right? And the same thing in football and in basketball. I would say this as a white guy, who, you know, white privilege, a lot of white people don't see it because, and this may not have anything to do with race, this may have to do with Tim Tebow's popularity, the fact that he played for Urban Meyer, the fact that he has a lot of people who like the fact, like the way he
his character.
Yeah, his character leadership. Or his religious kind of devotion, right? Whatever it is. But if you have those kind of privileges for whatever reason, I do think it's incumbent upon you to speak up for those who don't. So when I hear things like Stephen A. will take exception to the tanking in Philadelphia because a black GM could have never gotten away with that. And my point is, that's not an argument for me. I'm not giving up any privilege. I will insist that everyone is so privileged. Everyone should be treated with the same kind of respect and given latitude to try to succeed and fail if they might and get opportunity. And since Tim Tebow enjoys that in a league that has maybe illegally stonewalled Colin Kaepernick, they can't even give him a look. You can't even just put him on the field and watch him in an official tryout. Come on. Maybe Tim Tebow should stand up and say, you know what? I'm thankful for this opportunity. There's some people who don't have it, and mention Kaepernick by name. I would certainly applaud that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Mac. I mean, Tim Tebow's situation is clearly one where it's because he has the relationship with Urban Meyer, that's why he's getting an opportunity. We see that happen all the time in the business world, in the corporate world. Like, people get jobs, they get opportunities because they have certain relationships. But I don't think that we can start casting Tim Tebow in that same bucket with Colin Kaepernick in terms of those situations being the same. They're not. It's like apples and wrenches. They're not the same. We understand why Cap isn't
apples
in the...
Apples and what?
Apples and wrenches.
But they already have the apples and oranges.
Just stop
expression.
It. Yeah, well, I'm just,
that works.
But I'm just saying it's
even worse
it's
than
so
apples
far,
and oranges. Well, they're not
both,
even two
they're
fruits.
Both fruit. They're, listen, I'm just saying the wrenches thing, it's so far from what the current situation is with Colin Kaepernick. Cap's not in the league because the NFL felt like he was bad for business.
Right.
It was polarizing in his method to take a stance with social justice. And so they were
and
concerned.
Roger Goodell had to apologize for that. And I want to make sure that everyone knows that at home, that the NFL apologized for how they handled that Colin Kaepernick situation.
Right. Exactly. They were wrong then. And you can say that they continue to be wrong by not having given him an opportunity to be a part of the NFL, where clearly he's one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the world.
Is he more talented than Tim Tebow?
As a quarterback, I don't think there's any question.
No. I don't mean as a quarterback. I just mean like as a player in general. At this point, if you had to choose between one or the other, would it be a no-brainer for you to have Colin Kaepernick as your team as a player rather than Tim Tebow?
Well, yeah, I think Colin Kaepernick is more of a value add to an NFL team. I think there are more things that Colin Kaepernick can do to help an NFL team than Tim Tebow.
It becomes
can.
A self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah, yeah. though, because they've kept him out so long, they can legitimately say now, we don't know what he has left.
But if
but
you
I
can
have
say
an idea
that,
for that.
You
go
can
look
say,
at him. Go watch
him.
But here's, here's the other thing to that, Max. You can say that he's been out for so long, we don't know what he has left. Well, what the hell is Tebow
but
having
that's an
left?
Urban
think
Meyer
about,
joint.
Think about
that's
how
a specific.
Long, but I'm just saying, think about how far
yeah, sure.
and how far removed he was from the last time he played in the National Football League, how long it's been since he's actually been a part of a team and played in a regular season game. All I'm saying is this. With Tim Tebow, he was brought in because he was supposed to be an ambassador, a rabbi for Urban Meyer to help him get his program off the ground and to sell credibility for the head coach within the locker room amongst other players. That's why they brought him there. Now, I have serious doubts about his ability to do that just because in order for Tim Tebow to be able to lead guys in that locker room, you got to be able to play. And that remains to be seen whether or not Tim Tebow can play football. But to try to compare the Tebow situation to Colin Kaepernick's situation, I just think it's two completely different
but I do
scenarios.
Think I do think if people want to use any time there's a situation like this, anytime a player that's been out 3 or 4 years gets a look or there's some player being reintroduced to the league or a comebacking player, anytime people want to make Kaepernick part of the conversation around that, I'm for it because it is outrageous that forget about that he doesn't have a job. He hasn't gotten a tryout. The one time they're supposed to have a tryout, they try to smuggle language in a release that would, you know, release them from certain legal possibilities.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of the tryout. And when he refused to sign it, then he didn't get the official tryout. You can put your eyeballs, if you're a team, on Kaepernick to see how he can still play. And even though this Tebow thing is not related to it,
mm-hmm.
good. Attach Kaepernick to this. Attach Kaepernick to everything. So that the league doesn't just get to bury him and everyone gets to forget. The man still not only doesn't have a job, hasn't had the opportunity to even compete for a job. None of the 32 teams have the guts to do the right thing. Not one of them.
Yeah, but we know why they won't do it, Max. We know why. Because the NFL looks at it as a bottom line business, and they feel like he's bad for business. But the only problem with that is the NFL has also prided itself on being on the front of social justice issues and being on the forefront of change in our society when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to substance abuse, you name it, when it comes to military appreciation. The NFL has put itself, it's thrust itself at the forefront of all
they
of these issues.
They were a little late to the social activism party.
They were absolutely late to that social justice problem.
And that's why Roger Goodell, again apologized and wished they handled that differently. And I hope that he's somewhat vindicated in the fact that he did get that apology, even though he never got a tryout, and he will be in history books.
I'd like to say one thing, because I think it's important whenever this comes up. The whole economic, well, the teams are looking out for their own economic benefit. There is sometimes a moral imperative that should supersede it. For example, during segregation in the South, I'm now talking about, you know, half a century ago, right? Or a little bit more at this point. It ain't that long ago. When I was a kid, it was like 20 years ago, they would tell us, right? Some of the excuses made by white business owners in the South was, no, I don't mind serving that guy here, but my customers would mind. And that was a reason to treat people differently, right? And so here, whenever I hear that, because very much the protest broke down along racial lines in terms of who supported it, who didn't, police interactions with communities of color, I mean, that broke down along racial lines. So when I hear the excuse made, we would do the, it's not an issue of right or wrong, like we'd like to do the right thing, but our customers wouldn't like it. I'll call them on it. I'm calling you on it. That's not a good enough excuse.
All right.
It wasn't then, it's not now.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
LeBron James returns to the court. It's likely for tonight against the Knicks. Sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski on Monday, LeBron's been out 6 weeks due to a high ankle sprain before a two-game return against Toronto and Sacramento. He then missed 4 games in an attempt to rest that ankle. For all the attention on the Knicks resurgence and the Lakers drop off the season, they actually have identical records. But in the East, that's good for fourth, while the Lakers sit seventh in the West and possibly going to the play-in tournament. And ESPN's Basketball Power Index gives the Knicks almost no chance to win a title, while the Lakers have an 8% shot. Wow. Where's Brian Windhorst? Is he here? Hello, hello, hello. We got you. Hi. Wendy, I will get to you in a moment. I want to start with you on this one, Chris. Is tonight a bigger game for the Lakers or the Knicks?
Molly, it's a bigger game for the Lakers. And to me, when you start talking about statement games, they have to be linked to the expectations that you have on that team for the given season. Like, the Knicks are a great story around basketball. We realize they're ahead of expectations. But we're talking about a team that would be lucky if they get out of the first round of the playoffs. I think their ceiling would be a second-round team, whereas the Lakers, it's championship or bust. Like, I mean, LeBron put this team together in order to compete for championships at the twilight of his career. So, I mean, for them to be able to come out, and him particularly, to be able to come out and show that he's healthy and that he's capable of being able to carry this team on another title run to try to repeat, I think that would be the bigger statement made around the basketball world.
I agree with your analysis and I disagree with your conclusion. Guys, let's think about this for a second. We know the Knicks have no chance to win the championship, and we know the Lakers do have a chance. This is the Knicks championship. This is, if the Knicks play a team like the Lakers toward the end of the season and LeBron is playing, and I don't care if he's been off a month and played a couple games or 2 months or whatever, but LeBron and AD are in the game and the Knicks can beat the Lakers, that's their championship. Look, they might beat the Hawks in the first round. And by the way, this would be a good confidence boost for a tough series against Atlanta, which I think I'd favor the Knicks by a little bit in. and maybe a little bit more if they could beat the Lakers in a game that people are actually watching and paying attention to. And we know that's their ceiling. They have a 0% chance to get past the second round, but they have a decent one to get there. This games like these are the biggest games the Knicks have played in, what, a decade? This is huge for the Knicks. The Lakers right now, like you could say, well, they want to avoid the play-in. I disagree. I think maybe they could lose to the Blazers or the Warriors in one game, but they won't then follow up and also lose to the Grizzlies or the Spurs with LeBron and Schroeder and AD all playing. And in fact, that'll give them some time to ramp up for the Jazz or the Suns, against whom I like their chances better than the Clippers, cold walking into a first-round series. I'd rather them, as a Lakers fan, play the play-in and then avoid the Clippers in the first round. So, no, yes. This is, I understand your analysis, Chris, but my conclusion, based on the stuff you said, way bigger for the New York Knicks.
I got to say, the Knicks win Sunday against the Clippers, I'm prepared to declare that the biggest win they've had in 8 years since they eliminated the Celtics back in the 2013 playoffs. That's a commentary on that victory and a commentary on how bad the last 8 years have been. If they win tonight's game, they will have gone 4-2 on this road trip, and they will come home with a one-game lead and destiny on the number 4 seed. So while I agree that the Knicks are already accomplished this season, it's already been great, their horizon has changed a little bit. And now they have the opportunity to set themselves up with home court advantage. Getting the number 4 seed a week ago, I would have told you, I don't think they can do it. Respectfully, I don't think they can do it because of how tough their schedule is. But then they've come back and held on this road trip. And so now, their opportunity to send a message, not to anybody else in the league, but to themselves, about their legitimacy with getting a win tonight with LeBron coming back. I actually think, I know Knicks fans were kind of bummed. I heard from a couple of them that I'm friends with. They're kind of bummed yesterday when they heard that LeBron was coming back. I'm like, no. This is actually going to be good for you because this is going to increase the pressure a little bit. This is exactly what the Knicks need right now. And if you're a Knicks fan, you are staying up late to watch this game tonight. And that hasn't been the case for the Knicks in a really long time.
Wendy, I hear everything you're talking about, and I know Knicks fans around the tri-state area are excited about what's happening with this team. But I still look at this from the Lakers' perspective because, like Max, I'm a Lakers fan. And I can't help but think the implications of LeBron James coming back and trying to be healthy and trying to make sure that he's got himself right for this play-in scenario and then going on into the playoffs. Like, if the playoffs were to start and the Lakers are going to be in the play-in, you're talking about LeBron James having the lowest seeding that he's ever had going into a playoff situation. And so I gotta have a little bit of concern about what version of LeBron James we're going to see. And I think tonight is an opportunity for them to make a statement, and him in particular, to make a statement about the Lakers' prospects on the postseason.
But let's say they don't. We know why that would be. I mean, like, yeah, the Knicks are a tough, scrappy team. They have continuity right now that the Lakers don't have. So if the Lakers don't beat the Knicks, it's not because they can't beat the Knicks. It's because LeBron just got back again, and he and AD have to figure it out. And Schroeder's still not playing. So let's say they don't. Big deal. And in terms of their seeding, as I said, I haven't heard you respond as a Lakers fan, and I'm curious also, Wendy, about what you think. I think the Lakers are better off, possibly, in the play-in tournament than they are just ending this regular season the way they're going now, and playing the Clippers in the first round.
Max, see, you get me every time when you start making these arguments, because you just said it would be a tremendous confidence boost. Wendy just said it would be a tremendous confidence boost for the Knicks if they can prove to themselves that they're capable of competing at this level against a Lakers team with LeBron James. Yeah. Well, what would it mean for the Lakers if they can go out there and show, you know what, we can beat teams now, we've got LeBron James back healthy? What would it mean to them if they were to see their superstar, their best player, being able to come out there and show that he's still going to be one of those top-level guys once the postseason kicks off?
It'd be very good. There's no denying that. I just don't see where the downside is so very terrible for them. They would know, okay, we got a little more time to get guys in the groove. Wendy, are they better off in the play-in or facing the Clippers in the first round, the Lakers?
Well, here's what you need to know. The Clippers would prefer to play the Lakers in the first round for the reasons that you said, and because Staples Center is going to have a very small attendance in the first round, which means that the Lakers' home court on the road advantage is almost vaporized against the Clippers. So the Clippers would prefer to put it. But I got to say, as you watch how this seeding falls in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz have an opportunity to set themselves up for one of the best draws I can ever remember. If this falls right, and the way that it looks right now, the Jazz could be on the opposite side of the bracket as the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Suns, who have been on their heels for the number one seed for the whole second half. They could avoid all three of those teams until the conference finals. So they're watching and saying that's exactly what how they want it to play out. The Lakers, by the way, are not out of getting into six, as you mentioned, Max. Portland has a difficult week this week, especially because they've got a game coming up with the Jazz. So if the Lakers could somehow pull off going 4-0 this week, which, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility if LeBron plays well, they could still get into six. No, but either way, the Jazz are saying, let's let the Lakers and the Clippers fight it out amongst themselves.
No one else has Richard from Manhattan, who apparently is a caller to my radio show, the Max Kellerman Show, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN Radio. Apparently, I've lifted an argument without crediting him in the past, and I want to make sure I credit him. Mentioned yesterday on my show that if the Jazz, like, if they're going to have the best record, you just mentioned they're on the other side of the bracket. Do they have a top 10 MVP candidate on the team? I mean, we know Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs was outstanding last year. But when was the last time, as Richard pointed out, a number one seed in the Western Conference especially didn't have a top 10 MVP candidate on the team? Has it ever happened?
Richard, thank you for that. All right, as the playoffs approach, we're wondering. We're rolling. Wendy Stang.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Steph and the Dubs clinched a spot in the play-in. What a season it's been for him. He's leading the league in points per game, and if he wins a scoring title, we'll join Wilt, Kareem, and Jordan as players with multiple scoring titles, MVPs, and rings. Last night, he hit 11 three-pointers, giving him 12 career games with at least that many. All other players in NBA history combined have 14 such games. He's hit 63 three-pointers in his last five games, and he's heated up as the season's gone on. Since the All-Star break, he's had 21 games with at least 30 points. That's the most for a player after the break since Kobe Bean Bryant had 22 in 05-06. Max Kellerman, would you say Steph right now is the most dangerous player heading into the playoffs?
No, I wouldn't. I was tempted to say it's Damian Lillard because of Lillard's history of coming through under pressure. He does a pretty good approximation of Steph under normal circumstances, and a better Steph than Steph when it matters most in late and close games. And I acknowledge Steph used to choke in the finals. I'm sorry, people don't want to put it that way, but that's what it was. He, you know, greatest half-court offense of all time, 4 minutes and 22 seconds, a 73-win team, scored 0 points. Zero. But he hit some big shots against Toronto last time seen in the finals. No, I'm not going to say Damian Lillard instead of Steph. I'm not going to say Steph. The answer is the guy who led the team that held them scoreless in the fourth quarter in Game 7 at home with the fate of the universe on the line. And that would be LeBron James. LeBron James is the most dangerous player when it matters most. If that weren't the case, I'd be sitting here saying James Harden's the best player in the league. But he's not. You know why? Because in the regular season, LeBron James is just as good as anyone else. And in the playoffs, he's twice as good as anyone else. The answer is LeBron James.
But see, Max, it's different this year. We have the play-in tournament. We have one-off situations. And while I would argue LeBron's one of the greatest playoff performers of all time, in a one-off, one-game situation, you do not want to see Steph Curry coming into your building. You especially don't want to see him when he's this hot. And so while I think the Lakers are making it into that top eight, because I don't see them losing twice in a row at home, I am really concerned when Steph Curry comes in a one-off situation. The Warriors are a flawed team. I don't think they're making a run in the postseason. In a seven-game series, maybe Steph gets white hot once, twice, three times. Probably doesn't overcome. But man, watch out at Staples Center next week if that's the way that goes down.
Yeah, Wendy, I see it the exact same way as you. With Steph Curry, you don't want to see him in a one-game playoff scenario. I mean, we saw what this guy did on Saturday against OKC. He dropped 49 points in 29 minutes. And since April 1st, the guy is averaging 37.5 points a game, and he's hit 136 three-pointers. The next closest person is 53s less than that. So, I mean, Steph is capable of these huge outbursts offensively. And so when we start talking about the expectations that we have for the Golden State Warriors and we look at what Steph is doing right now, I mean, this is the guy that nobody wants to face early on in the playoffs because of what he's capable of doing.
Well, you would be right, Wendy. You'd be right about it, and you'd be right, Chris, if it was a one-game play-in. But we know if you're 7 or 8, it's not a one-game play-in. It's two. So, yeah, Steph Curry or Damian Lillard could bounce the Lakers in that first game. Then the Lakers, you think, are also going to lose a one-game set to a one-game or one game to the Grizzlies or Spurs? It ain't going to happen. Not when they have LeBron James. He'll never let it. And then they're going to start to get into playoff series. And you know what? The Jazz and the Suns will be scared. You know why? The Lakers have no earthly business competing with them the way their season's gone. But we all know they have LeBron James. He's better than everyone else. And he's – I want to read something to you guys real quick. Kevin Durant in that finals against LeBron when he was on the team with Steph and Klay and no one else had a chance to win, went for 43-13-7 one game. And I tweeted this at the time because that was amazing. And, oh, my God, KD's so good. In those same playoffs, I just want to read you some lines that LeBron had. 46-12-5, 44-10-8, 45-9-7. This is in the same playoffs, not in his career, in those playoffs. 43-14-8. 42-10-12. I'm not done. 46-11-9. 51-8-8. He did those in the same playoffs. He is the most feared. He is the best. And he's the scariest heading into the postseason.
Yeah, I think LeBron has had some of the most impressive series in the history of losing teams. If you go back to the 2009 Conference Finals, he had one of the greatest performances for a losing team ever. 2015 Finals, he arguably should have won the Finals MVP. It's hard to do that as a team that loses in six, but he arguably should have won it. And then after Durant came to the Warriors, he averaged a triple-double in one of the finals that he lost to him. There's no doubt he's a beast to overcome. The difference, Max, is that in all those situations, he was 100% healthy. I just don't know where he is right now. Now, in a week, I may completely agree with you. But right now, when you're asking me this, I just got to see him play tonight. I got to see how he looks off this injury. He's never done this before.
Yeah, it's a lot of show and prove with LeBron James in terms of him being healthy. And that's why I wouldn't qualify him as the most dangerous player going into these playoffs. But make no mistake about it. I mean, if LeBron James goes out there and he shows that he's capable of running, jumping, cutting, and planting all of those different things, then, yeah, nobody's going to want to see the Lakers. Nobody's going to want to see LeBron, especially those teams at the top of the Western Conference in a long series.
All right, we'll leave it there, guys. I want to get to the Celtics because this has been a disappointing season for them, no doubt. More bad news for what's already been frustrating for them. Jaylen Brown will miss the remainder of the season with a left wrist injury. The team announced Monday Brown is expected to have surgery this week. Despite this injury, there's no denying the talent of the young stars Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on this roster. Remember, they got bounced in the Eastern Conference Championship. That was by Miami Heat last season. Max, I mean, we're not even mentioning Kemba Walker, but obviously Kemba's there as well. I know it's been a down year for him, but can the Celtics win a title with Tatum and Brown as their cornerstones?
No. And the reason I'm saying that is because when you say that, what you're saying is those two are in a class by themselves on the team, right? You're not saying Tatum and Brown and two other dudes as good as Brown, but that's what it would take. It is so gangster to win a championship in the NBA. People, it's not just that you need two superstars. If it's only going to be two, It needs to be Shaq and Kobe in their primes. Because let me tell you something. Shaq and Penny in their primes is not enough. When you look at, you were talking about super teams earlier, Wendy, and you were saying, hey, well, LeBron had to respond to Boston. Boston wouldn't have done that with any two of those three guys. If it's going to be only Garnett or Pierce or Ray Allen, all first ballot Hall of Famers, you need three of those dudes, three of them, because none of those dudes are Shaq or Kobe. LeBron and Wade, I mean, Chris Bosh was great, but LeBron and Wade were in a separate category. And insofar as what we mean when we say, can these two be the Jordan and Pippen, right? Can they be two that can bring you there? No. Tatum and Brown are great. They can be on a championship team, but you need at least two other guys right on that level with Jaylen Brown if you think you're going to win a championship.
Well, Max, you're wrong about that. I mean, the Boston Celtics with Tatum and Brown have made the Eastern Conference Finals three of the last 4 years. So, I mean, those guys have shown that they're capable of getting that team to that point. Now, we're talking about competing for championships. Yeah, you have to have the right supporting cast around them. But, I mean, just looking at what those guys are currently, the leap that Jaylen Brown has made this season, being able to set career highs in points per game, assists per game, three-point percentage, like all of those things matter. He's got four 40-point games this season. So Jaylen Brown taking that next step, coupled with Jason Tatum, who's an all-NBA type of performer, yeah, they absolutely have enough in those two guys to be cornerstones for building a championship team. There's no question about it in my mind. We've seen what this team was capable of doing in the past years. Now, they've underachieved a little bit this year because they've missed so many games with players out due to injury. So I can understand why they're falling short of expectations coming into this year. But make no mistake about it, these two guys, from a talent perspective, have the stuff that it takes to be able to build a championship contender around them.
You know, the challenge for them is you look at the rest of the East and there's just some beasts out there. I mean, you look what they've got in Brooklyn and you figure that team's going to be together for the next few years. You look at Giannis and his age and he's got a great supporting cast. It's going to be tough to overcome them. You know, you look at Philly, Joel Embiid is entering his prime. And Ben Simmons, whether they keep him or they look to move him, that's going to be a difficult team to overcome. So part of it isn't just you're judging what they can do as a team. Part of it is you're judging what their competition is. Just in the Eastern Conference. Now, the crazy thing about the Celtics is they've done the hard part. It's extraordinarily difficult to draft star players and to develop them. They've done it. They did it in back-to-back drafts. They got these two guys. They've turned them into stars, and they've got them under a long-term contract, and Jaylen Brown's actually on less than a max, and they play the perimeter, which is a demand position. So, and you could argue that the Celtics have done brilliantly with what you have to do, but they haven't done a great job in team building. And so that's why this offseason is going to be vital for the Celtics if they want to join the ranks of those other teams that are at full throttle.
In the words of Jay-Z on The Takeover, and a lot of people get this wrong, guys, and think Nas got him on Ether. No. Jay-Z won that, believe it. That's a hot take. But in the words of Jay-Z on The Takeover, that's right.
I love it.
That's right. We don't believe you. You need more people. See, like when you just went through, see those guys who were getting, the East is really a beast right now and all that. You could just point to teams with two stars that are better than Tatum and Brown. Tatum might be able to be a number one option on a championship team. His offense is that special. And Jaylen Brown could certainly be on a championship team, maybe as the second best player, but you need more people. It's not enough because neither one of those dudes is KD or James Harden. There are levels to this, right? There are levels. There's a hierarchy. And just because you're great doesn't mean you're as great as the other guy. When you're talking about the cream of the crop in the NBA, if you're saying, can these two guys do it? They have to be not just first ballot Hall of Famers. They have to be next level great. You know, who wins the championship? Who does it? Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Those are the guys who do it, especially if you're only going to say, I'm going to give him this one crime partner. And those guys, as good as they are, not quite enough.
Real quick, Wendy,
The Utah Jazz probably didn't like hearing you say that because that's what the Jazz are trying to do right now, what the Celtics are going to hope to do in the short-term future.
Every 10 years or so, a team does it. Every 10 years or so, the Pistons or the Mavericks do it with one great, great player or just a bunch of really good players. The other 9 years, it's LeBron and Jordan. And
Wendy, we only have like a minute left, but how much of this is on Brad Stevens? He's been there since 2013.
It's very hard to evaluate Brad Stevens. This has not been his best year. He'd be the first to tell you that. Their team has been decimated by COVID. And also, they've just had an enormous amount of talent walk away from that team for nothing in return. Mm-hmm. Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward. You can't just lose all that talent and not feel it. And what Max is describing is their lack of help and big-time support is without a doubt affected by that personnel. So I think Danny Ainge needs to do better. Brad Stevens needs to do better. And they need ownership to commit. This team has not always pressed it as a big market team. They got out of the luxury tax this year, which I kind of understand why. They're not a great team. But they need to spend with the likes of the Knicks and the Celtics and the Lakers if they're going to do it.
What are the Lakers going to do tonight? LeBron against the Knicks? What do we think, fellas?
Knicks might take them.
It's a win for the Lakers.
We're not going to see the Kings take back
Lakers
his crown.
Not about the regular
I cannot
season.
Wait for that game. Lakers, we'll break it all out tomorrow.
They're worried about the play-in, though.
Yeah.